All right, we're live. That's how easy this is.
Wow.
This whole podcast
technology
just hit the button and it's live.
Good to go.
That's right. You want to see some cool buttons on this device? Check this out.
Sure.
There we go. I don't know what that's used for. I do know that it's
probably for this, for fun.
It is for fun, but if you say something, I think this is the one, if you say something bad.
Can you program it to have different sound effects?
You can. You get four channels, or four, what are they called? Buses.
Yeah.
You get four buses, but you can put any audio you want. Go ahead and mic a little bit closer just because...
Is this better?
Yeah, because I'm gonna turn the volume down in post.
Okay.
So we're still gonna have background music because we're at a party. Like, this is the worst place to record a podcast.
Yeah. It's very brave of you to do this.
Well, and we can play with the audio afterwards, but I think it adds a little bit of like authenticity.
I like it. I can hear the background sounds now.
Yeah.
And I like it. It doesn't even.
It's perfect. And so. We've gone already a few minutes talking about nothing, but why don't we talk a little bit?
People are getting a lot of value out of this.
Exactly. Well, they might have to skip forward. This is like the advertisements at the beginning of Lex Friedman's podcast, right?
Yeah.
Just skip the 10.
Yeah, jump 10 minutes ahead.
Yeah. So first of all, why don't you introduce yourself to anybody that's going to listen to this? And I don't know who's going to listen to this. It could be nobody. It could be everybody. Introduce yourself.
My name is Andy Kalikian. I'm one of the probably I've been in the community for the longest time in Hedera community. I'm known more to the community as HBAR to the Moon. I've been running a Twitter account for 4 or 5 years probably. It's hard to believe that so much time has passed so quickly. But even before starting my Twitter account, because I was never a social media guy. I actually never liked people on social media who post all the time. Personal stuff, but when I learned about Hedera Swirls back then, it wasn't even known as Hedera. I was like, this is something very revolutionary.
Let's go back to that though. Like, so what year did you become aware of Swirls?
I think it was 2018.
So March of 2018, we launched
Hedera. Maybe even earlier.
Yeah, so 2017, there was a Telegram group from September of 2017. Mm-hmm. No, it was earlier than September. I think it was like July.
Probably it was 2017, like 4 or 5 months before it went public. It was publicly known. Yes.
Yeah, because TechCrunch, I believe, was in August of 2017. And that's where the blockchain killer article went out that got everybody's attention.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the one that got your attention, that same article?
No, I learned it from the documentary, from the Money Gold Silver guy, Mike Maloney. Okay. From Mike Maloney's documentary.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, a funny story. That's not where I heard about it. Swirls Labs first. I was in school back then. I was just about to graduate, and I was driving Uber around.
Okay.
And I was talking, because it was the crypto boom, right? Bitcoin was shooting up. Ethereum was very...
That was the ICO summer.
ICO summer, exactly. Yep. Everybody was talking about crypto. So I would talk about crypto with all the people I was giving rides to. I was like, what do you think about this new thing? Are you invested? What do you think about the future? And one of the guys, I can't remember his name, but he told me that he works at this company called Swirls, and they're going to come out with a public announcement very soon that there is something like a public network coming out soon. And he told me, go to swirls.com. You can download the white paper. And that's actually how it started. My journey started.
Who is this you were talking to?
I can't remember. I mean, he was sitting in the back. So I wasn't even seeing his face.
Got it.
It was a young guy. Maybe James. I don't remember.
Interesting. I'm trying to think back to everybody who was in Swirls. I mean, at that time, it might have been Jordan. Jordan was all over the place. But yeah, so if we were already thinking of doing a public network, that would have been at the earliest, like November of 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably more likely in January of 2018.
Somewhere around that time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's interesting. Well,
that he would probably not tell anybody else, because I was an Uber driver. Is like, yeah. This is not gonna.
That's why I want to find out who it is. I'm gonna point the finger who leaked early.
Yeah.
No, it's all good because it all happened. It all came out in March of 2018. We launched Hedera. What got your attention about Swirls in the first place? The white paper. What about the white paper got your attention?
So at that time, I was already doing some research into blockchain technologies, trying to figure out what this consensus algorithms are, what the differences are, proof of stake, proof of work. There was a lot of stuff going on, but also a lot of noise because 2017,
yes,
every next day, new network was coming out with a new product. So I was looking into technologies. Being an engineer, I wanted to learn, is this really true? Is this really going to be able to scale and deliver on all the promises, all these products they're talking about? They're going to disrupt industries, financial industries. None of them seemed real to me. None of them seemed to have depth. All of the websites were just talking about their token price, their market caps. I'm like, this is not serious. When I went on Swirl's website and started looking into the Hashgraph algorithm, that also led me to finding some videos on Lehman talking about the algorithm. His Harvard lecture, a very popular
which
lecture.
Which I think was the best lecture. I think that one helped me the most understand the algorithm itself.
Yeah. So probably because of seeing Lehman talking about the technology, even if it's not public yet, it just seemed very fascinating. The possible use cases and applications that can be built on top of this kind of a technology. So I just kept following the project, especially I knew there's something public that's going to come out very soon. If it was just a private licensed company, I could probably be like, okay, this is really cool. It can be very disruptive, but if I don't have any way of participating, I'm just a small guy, just graduated school.
Right.
Nobody's going to pay attention to me. I probably wouldn't follow up, but seeing Lehman's videos and knowing that the network is coming out, I was like, I have to also probably from the community side help support and promote this network.
So before we kind of continue pulling the Hedera thread, were there any other projects at the time that got your attention? I know you said that most of the public networks were just, focus on the coin value.
Yeah.
But were there other projects that got your attention from a technology perspective?
One of the projects was Ripple. Ripple seemed to be doing things differently, enterprise focus, bank focus. They're not hyping things up for no reason. They seemed more serious compared to other projects. And that was one of the projects that I got really interested in. Of course, Bitcoin and Ethereum, at the time, I didn't know this technology can't even scale. They keep promising hundreds of thousands of transactions per second, smart contracts, all this fancy wording, but they were never able to deliver on that. For Bitcoin, it's good for what it is. If it can be the store of value network, what it promises to do, I think it's a great utility for the whole world. But if you want to have the public service network, general purpose network that can do all kinds of other things, when Hedera came out, I was like, all of this stuff is just a noise. I mean, they might have some traction going on with enterprise. Even Ripple has a lot going on currently. I wish them good luck, but I just don't see any of those networks who have found some niche use cases to become a world leader, trust layer of the internet, which Hedera is trying to do.
And I think something you just said there was like a general public network.
Yep.
You know, we look at like AI right now, right? And really what everybody's looking at is AGI, the artificial general intelligence,
yep,
right? That's where we get ChatGPT from. There's plenty of public networks out there doing niche things. They've got their superpower they have. But what you just said was that what got your attention was the fact that Hedera showed the promise for being on a technical level capable of scaling as a general public ledger.
Yep. So it can be used for all kinds of different use cases, like a public notary. Nobody ever will think of, currently in this situation in the crypto markets, nobody will ever think about a crypto network as a public notary.
Now, why is that? Help me understand it from a I'm sure I could probably brute force explain what I think you're saying, but help me understand what you're saying there. What do you mean nobody else could be a public notary? Way that Hedera
so Hedera has very unique characteristics in terms of technology, like fair ordering and timestamping of the transactions.
Right.
You can submit messages to the network and get the timestamp and fair ordering, and then it goes to the mirror node. You can always pull that data from the mirror node. But you always have the proof that this information has gone through Hedera network. You can prove at this time, at this moment of time. There's always public proof of that action, whatever happened.
Right.
You can use that in IoT devices, sending a lot of sensor data through Hedera network to the cloud. So now you don't have to trust the cloud directly. We can always go back and verify that this data hasn't been manipulated at the cloud side of things.
Yes. Okay. So I understand what you're saying. And I think the unique property of Hedera is that it is a voting algorithm, right? It's a virtual voting algorithm. And it takes a snapshot. So you can actually get a proof that says this data was witnessed by the Hedera network at this time by at least 2/3 of the nodes on the network.
Yeah.
And their signatures plus the data in that timestamp is the portable proof.
Exactly.
That you can use. As opposed to blockchain, if you want to prove anything with blockchain, you got to hold the entire blockchain back to the Genesis block, back to the beginning of time, which can be hundreds of gigabytes, terabytes, petabytes potentially.
Yeah. Hey, you can't even prove order of transactions the blockchain, because if you submit a sensor data to the blockchain network, obviously you're not going to pay $10 fees to process it quickly. And if you don't pay that, they're going to bump it to the next block, next block, next block. And it's even in the block where they order the transactions, it's up to the miner to put in the order they want to. So there is
that fairness component has kind of spoke to you as well.
Oh, fairness is huge for me.
Yeah.
Hedera's fairness, it can be used anywhere in the world, any kind of application. And that's what Atma.io is doing too. Atma is passing all the information about the supply chain of the product lifecycle through Hedera so they can have the public verifiable proof of this product being manufactured here, shipped to this warehouse, to this warehouse, to this market, and the carbon offsets, carbon emissions associated with that whole process.
Right.
All on the Hedera network. So if a brand comes to Atma and says, hey, you're lying to me about this information, it hasn't been here or there, Atma will say, don't trust me, go check on Hedera. All the information is on Hedera, all timestamps and affair ordered.
So that's that. Yeah, again, you're coming back to the trust of the notary almost.
Yep.
Kind of like a public ledger notary.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And I can see, you know, having been the chief developer advocate for Hedera for a number of years, I've seen a lot of use cases that can make use of that. But that's what really got your attention from the beginning is the fairness and that kind of notary functionality, that public attestation.
That was one of the interesting factors about Hedera. Mm-hmm. The other one was the governing council.
Okay.
Hedera is approaching this very differently in a very serious way. They're not. If you start a decentralized network with anonymous nodes, eventually it's going to centralize. Some people who have more resources in that network of people who are participating, they're going to pull power to their side. Eventually, centralize power in a few different nodes or a few different miners. You have to be overly controlling when you're starting a decentralized network, which doesn't make sense. If you're starting a decentralized network, you just let it loose and it decentralizes as it wants to. But that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to start a decentralized network is to be overly controlling at the starting point. So you know exactly who's running the node. You make sure that they're trusted. They have the capability to run the node and run it 24/7 all the time. And you can, whenever some problem happens early on, there's some network issues, things like that, you know who to go to and tell them, hey, we need to shut down the network at this time. There's a critical error. We need to fix it. And over time, slowly decentralize and eventually bring in anonymous nodes. But I think that was another thing that Hedera was doing very differently that caught my eye too.
So it was kind of that pragmatic approach of like, yes, we have a vision of being decentralized, but we understand in the early phases, there's a lot of risk to going straight out and being decentralized.
Yep.
So let's generate a hybrid governance model and management maintenance model until we're at a position, we're at a point where pure decentralization is possible.
It's possible.
And I don't even know that that's ever going to be the case. I think there's always going to be a council.
Yeah.
But how that council is elected and managed and all of those things, I could see a lot of decentralized governance and oversight being applied there as well, which is, it's fine. It's a hybrid model. And when we're talking about money, it's important that we have responsible people who have their reputations at risk.
Exactly, exactly.
Helping the governance.
Yep. Good thing about the network being public is you see everything that's happening on the network.
Yep.
So if something is shady, you don't trust the governing council, the members, whatever they are doing, if you don't have the power to change that, if you're just a regular person, you just don't use the network. And if
right.
more people are disappointed, that network is going to be useless. Nobody's going to use it. So it's important to have reputable, trustworthy people run the network, but it's also important to have the ability to hold them accountable whenever needed. And that public aspect of Hedera Network, everything is visible, gives you that chance to audit everything and make sure they're doing the right thing. They're not sending the treasury funds to their own
right.
accounts, things like that.
Yeah, it's so funny. I remember talking to Lehman early on about a number of use cases we were looking at that were saying, hey, we want to interoperate with the public network, with Hedera, but we don't want people to see what we're posting, so how can we obfuscate it? And I remember Lehman saying, if you don't want something to be public, don't put it on a public network.
Yeah.
Right?
It's that simple.
It's that simple. But I think that the flip side of that is exactly what you're talking about, is the transparency part of it. If all of the operations are on a public network, everything becomes auditable.
Yep.
Interesting. And so these are the things that spoke to you about Hedera. These are the things that got your attention.
Probably a lot more things too.
Sure.
But yeah.
Well, so tell me a little bit about, let's start with NFTs and then we'll move to your project.
Your favorite topic.
Well,
let's go.
This is one that you and I talked about at length a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. It was right at the early.
About a year ago.
Maybe a year ago. Because I remember we were talking about your project and I had pulled into my driveway and I was thinking, all right, we're done with the phone call. I'm going to go into my house and I'm done for the day. And I remember making some comment about like, yeah, I don't necessarily get this NFT thing. I remember when we were designing the technical specifications for an NFT on Hedera and working with the Inner Work Alliance and doing the token taxonomy framework.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I could see a whole bunch of use cases for NFT where you've got a bundle of rights and liabilities, like access rights to a building,
yep.
To a building, or revenue rights in like a royalty or rev share scenario,
yep.
or expense liabilities if you're sharing expenses with people. I was like, I could see NFTs being used for very pragmatic, practical, technical use cases.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, the one thing that didn't click for me, and as a matter of fact, before NFTs took off, I remember saying there's no way people are going to buy digital art as an NFT. That's like the most useless use case. I remember saying that. And then I was totally wrong with that, because a year later, it was the number one use case for NFTs.
Yep.
And I remember on that call with you, I said, yeah, I could see why people are doing it, but it's just a fad, right? It's going to come and it's going to go, because it's just like the easiest use case to do. And do you remember what you said to me? Because you kind of set me straight a little bit on the value of collectible NFTs.
Yes, yeah. I don't remember what exactly I said back then, but my opinion about NFTs hasn't changed that much over the years. Over last year, probably. That's when we talked last time. It's not really about NFTs. There is something else going on that people are gravitated towards this kind of NFT-based communities. There's a class thing. There is a prestige thing when you're part of the group. I mean, people will do anything to be part of a fraternity or some organization or group just so they can say, hey, I'm part of this. I'm a, even simple example, Democrat or Republican, but
right.
they don't even know what the values of those parties are. And values of those parties change over time. They don't even know, right?
Right.
So it's not really about NFTs, but NFTs are a really easy and simple and cool way to bring those communities together very quickly. When
mm-hmm.
when they have the art, they buy the art, they basically sign up to be part of that mission, whatever that mission could be. And for the NFT project to be successful, they have to have a good mission and a good
right.
vision. If they're putting together just an a fun club about sports or whatever their interests are, they should have really good leaders to keep their community members engaged, use that force, the community force, to do something good and in that area they're interested in. So it's just by launching NFT is not enough. you got to do a lot of other things. But NFT plays a role in making things easier and more fun and more engaging. And now you have rarities in NFTs, different kind of characters that you can trade them, you can show off them on social media. The NFT itself has a value, which adds that extra layer of fun to the whole project. But people have been collecting things for a long time, for centuries. It's NFTs now, and it's going to be more and more popular over time. But people collect baseball cards, people collect coins, people collected all kinds of physical things. So some other people might not understand, what's the point of collecting old coins?
Right.
But for those specific group of people, it's very valuable and very important. Now imagine with Web3, those people can come together and show off their coins together. Hey, I got this coin from this time, this historical period, blah, blah, blah. So it becomes more interactive, I would say.
Yeah, and I think you used a word earlier. You said fraternity. And that's kind of what clicked for me. There were kind of two major points you made to me a year ago. The first one was, it's easy to understand. Like all the other use cases I was talking about, it's like, if you do them right, nobody ever realizes there's an NFT there.
Yeah.
Right? If you do it right, nobody knows that there's an NFT. So it's not really easy for the average person to understand. But I remember you saying this digital art collectible NFT was easy for people to understand and get behind because they could see it. He said art was something visual and it kind of triggered an emotion.
And they own it. That's a big part of it. Yeah.
Right. And that kind of leads to the second part, which is like you mentioned the fraternity, but you were like, it's not about the art or the NFT per se. It's about being part of an exclusive group. You're one of 10,000 people who are part of this collection or this group. You can tell we're in LA, right? We got the police helicopter flying overhead. Which is fine. I love the organic.
No, it's true. It's fine.
But this is very authentic.
Yep.
But you said that to me, and I remember that kind of clicked because I was in London for an event, and I remember sitting next to a guy who was from Canada who came out to this event and was sitting next to me, and we found out, like, oh, we're both into jiu-jitsu, so we talked a little bit about jiu-jitsu. And then it turns out that he had a Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT. Mm. And I said, oh, interesting, not thinking much of it. And he's like, oh, yeah, I found like three other guys who are Bored Apes. And we hooked up and had drinks the other night. And I'm like, why? Why would you get together with other people who hold NFTs? But that's when it clicked to me. You had mentioned a fraternity. That's when I think back to that. Now I go, oh, yeah, these are people who have a common interest. And now they're commonly exclusive.
They can relate to each other.
That's right.
They have similar preferences. They like similar things.
There's some anchor.
It's almost like if you went to a school, let's say UCSD, San Diego, you meet someone who says, I went to UCSD too. You never met the person, but you're like, hey, I already like you because you went to the same school I went to. There's something that connects us.
We ate in the same quad
at
lunch. We all know about that quad.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. It's like, oh, we've seen the ups and downs of this collection. You know, we remember when it was launched, there were some unique ones that everybody was fighting for. Like you have like an anchor of commonality.
We've gone through something together.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's changed for me a bit. And it's part of the reason why I came down to this event. Like 2 days ago, I was still questioning whether or not I was coming down. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't until last night about 10 p.m. I booked my hotel.
I'm glad you did.
I am too. I'm so glad I did because I was trying to justify coming down. I was trying to think, like, what business reason do I have to come down? And I was even thinking, like, maybe I can go catch a jiu-jitsu class on Saturday before I go home, right? I was thinking of, like, other things I could do.
Yeah.
But as soon as I got here and I saw all the people here that we've been in the same space for the last 5-6 years.
Yep.
These are a bunch of people that are part of my community that most of them I've never met in person.
Yeah.
And so being here, even meeting yourself, I mean, we've talked many times over the last couple of years, and you've been here almost as long as I have in this World Hedera space, right? So like we've got a common history through Hedera, and it was like, after a few minutes here talking to people, I decided, yeah, you know what? Tomorrow, I don't need to do anything else. I'm just going to come to the event, spend as much time as I can at the event.
Yeah.
And like 5 p.m., I'll drive home because it's going to be a 6.5 hour drive and I need to get home before midnight. So
that's exactly it.
So, yeah, I think that
there's other values that humans get out of this kind of things than just transactional value.
I think that's spot on.
Yeah.
Are we going to have an NFT for this event? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
I imagine there would be one.
There should be one. I mean, tickets should have been NFTs.
It was Eventbrite, so definitely not NFTs.
What they could do, actually, that could be very creative. You just go on Eventbrite. Maybe if there is a box there, you can fill in your account ID information. When you buy the ticket, they say, hey, associate this token ID, you will get an NFT.
I bet we could still do it, though. I bet. Let's go talk to Elizabeth, see if we can get an NFT. She's probably already thinking about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Before we end, I do want to talk about your project because I've been emotionally invested in your project for about a year now, too. Tell me a little bit about what you're building and where you're at.
So we're building a hardware wallet for Hedera Network.
Mm-hmm.
Hardware wallets are the secure physical devices that are not connected to your they will connect to your mobile desktop devices to sign transactions, but most of the time they're offline, basically securing your cryptographic keys associated with your blockchain accounts. In this case, Hedera Network. I started building the wallet. I had it in mind for a long time. As I said, I've been in the ecosystem for a long time, but I didn't have time or I wasn't sure if it's the right time to start building it. And at some point, I was coming up with ideas and concepts, doing research. There's a lot of research that it took to understand how the secure elements work, how the security architectures work. It looks like a simple, small device, but there's a lot of things you need to think about to be able to make it really highly secure.
Real quick, what qualifies you for doing this?
good question. A lot of people know me as HBAR to the Moon.
Yep.
I run the Twitter account. I'm very active in the community. So when I came out and said I'm going to build this hardware wallet, understandably, a lot of people would be like, you're crazy.
Twitter guy, yeah.
Yeah. Who told you can build a hardware wallet? We know a few companies who are doing it. One of them is Ledger. It's a huge company.
Right.
Who told you that you can actually start and build a hardware wallet product like this?
But because it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, we're talking about security here. This is
There's a lot of responsibility involved. It's not just building the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure you take care of all of the steps to get it before getting it to market. Otherwise, people are going to store HBAR and other tokens, and even maybe real world assets, tokenized real world assets that can have the ownership of your house or stocks and bonds and all kinds of different things in the future. So you want to make sure that you get the security right first and foremost. And for that, you need to first spend a lot of time. You need to have the engineering background, which my background is electrical engineering. It's not in software, but I have led projects in avionic and military industries where I'm working currently, where I have to think of not just electrical, but the overall effort that needs to go into developing the system. So system engineering, mechanical, software, electrical, there is products that we're building that have the optical component as well. You need to think of all of this together, how they come together, interact with the engineers and know exactly what to request of them and know what's possible, what's not possible, how everything is going to fall into place together. So those are very useful experiences that I have had in the past or currently working outside of just electrical engineering that has given me the confidence to be like, okay, now is the time. And I see Hedera is starting to pick up. There's a lot of exciting things going on, NFTs, tokens, and smart contracts, and enterprises are becoming active too. This is the right time to start building this product, and I have the background and expertise to do it at much lower cost than for someone who has no idea what this is. They have to go out there, hire engineers and ask them how this is going to be done, and they're probably going to rip them off.
Well, and we've got companies that have done that, but having looked at some of the security hardware, I'm less than impressed with the incumbents.
Yeah.
Say that.
Yep.
And it's my understanding that you've spared no expense on the hardware security side.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I could go the easy route. There's some open source hardware wallets right. that I could take the components that have been proven to be working over time, but they were very limited and simple components. I could go that route and easily build a wallet and just copy open source code and make some changes, implement it there, and good to go. I wanted to get the most cutting edge technologies mm-hmm. into this wallet. So I'm way ahead of competition there on the hardware side of things as well. Plus, knowing that Hedera is so unique, there is all kinds of different types of transactions and things that right. you can do with the network. Since I wanted it to be fully native for Hedera, I don't want it to be used just for storing HBAR. It's just too boring of a use case for a hardware wallet for me.
Well, that's an interesting point because, you know, my team has written firmware for Ledger and every one of those integrations, anytime we do anything with Hedera, we have a very limited memory space yep. to operate within.
Yep.
So we can only do a subset of Hedera's functionality.
Exactly.
So when what kind of got my attention is like in a lot of your competition wallets, hardware wallets, they're going for supporting as many chains as possible with limited functionality.
Yeah.
But with yours, it seems like you're really hyper-focusing on Hedera and having the broadest amount of functionality.
Yeah. That's my main focus. I don't think new hardware wallets coming out today will have any chance of succeeding competing with Ledger if they don't have their unique value proposition. And value proposition of Citadel Wallet is being Hedera native first, supporting all of its services and all types of use cases. That draws attention of not just Web3 users, which is very limited. It's a small ecosystem, not just a Hedera. Overall, Web3 ecosystem is very small, and most of them are not interested in storing coins themselves because they're just in it for the speculative aspect of crypto, just buying and selling and trading as an investment. They don't want to self-custody. It's just not, they're not interested in that. If you want to target all kinds of different use cases, supply chain, digital identity, right. real-world tokenized assets, tokenized gold, and diamonds and all kinds of different use cases, the right approach is not to support all networks. The right approach is to support a network that can provide those capabilities to those use cases
right.
and make them successful so your project is successful with them. Maybe a hardware wallet that supports all chains, all coins, limited, will be successful in a short period of time, but that's going to go away. What's going to stay is if your product is useful for so many different things than just storing crypto.
So I think the first thing I got to point out is the name of your product is Citadel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you've said it once, and I just realized that we haven't really introduced your product properly, but Citadel is a hardware wallet. It is probably the sexiest hardware wallet I've ever seen with a touchscreen.
Yeah,
I remember we talked about it. You said, I want it to feel like an Apple product.
Yeah, exactly. Right from day one. Yeah. I haven't spared any effort and time and resources to make sure that this looks like a premium product.
And you showed it to me today. Like, I was playing with it today. It's incredible. Like, it is, it feels nice. I'm excited to have 5 or 7 of these, however many I've already bought, in my wallet.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for that. But I just to summarize what you just said about the functionality that you're supporting, the broader functionality, what you're saying is, you want to appeal to a broader set of use cases than just the crypto
yep.
use case.
Because exactly.
crypto is one use case in distributed ledger tech.
Yep.
And it's proven to be an exciting one that has built incredible communities, made some incredible wealth. But there are so many other use cases out there. There's, like you said, supply chain use cases, medical use cases, property real estate use cases. There's all kinds.
Sustainability use cases, all kinds.
Sustainability, yep.
yeah. Yep.
And all of those need different functionality. And what you're saying is that Hedera provides the necessary functionality and Citadel Wallet enables managing keys across all of that functionality, which no other hardware wallet does yet.
And they probably can't even do it.
Let's make that extra, extra clear. Citadel Wallet is not just another hardware wallet. It's the only hardware wallet that will support all of those use cases in the functionalities they need on Hedera.
Exactly.
Like that's your unique selling proposition right there.
Yep.
That's your USP.
That is one of the USPs, probably one of the most important ones. And that's
of course the security ones too. Like,
yeah, security has to be number one. Yeah. But outside of security, even how much effort and time we have put into the look and
the design
of the wallet, to me personally, for people, that talks trust. Trust doesn't just come from, hey, look at our algorithms, download a complex white paper that people don't even understand what it means, how this algorithm and technologies work. That's not trust. Trust is paying attention to every single small detail on your product. So when they look at the product, they're like, I have no idea what's inside this product, but I can already trust it.
That's a great point, because I can't tell you how many times I've been to a website of a software engineering company or a supply company, and I look at the website, and the first thing I think is, they didn't even take the time to impress me with their website.
Yep.
How can I trust their operations?
Exactly. It could be like killer security operations.
Right. It could be the best in the world, but they've lost credibility because their website doesn't emotionally connect with me.
Exactly.
And I can see the attention to detail or lack of attention to detail that impacts that. That's an interesting... You know, this is why I love talking to you, because you always bring like the human behavior side.
It's always about the human behavior. Yeah, I always think about that. Because technology is too... People are not interested in the technology.
Right.
That they could care less. People who say they're interested in the technology, it might be the investment. They're just wishing the technology is successful so they make more money back or make their money back or investment back. There has to be something that they are looking for to gain value out of in that technology. It's never the technology itself. Convenience, time, they spend less money, less fees, it's much faster, efficient, trustworthy. Ownership plays a big role in Web3.
Yeah.
That's why so many people are loving Web3, because they rather hold the NFT themselves or their crypto themselves and pay $10 fee for sending it, then keep it in the bank and pay no fees for sending their money. People value ownership so much that they're willing to go that extra, spend that extra money and effort to do it. But in the long run, I think there is going to be a lot of competition where some technologies start to become more efficient, like Hedera, where you get the ownership, you also get almost zero fees for transferring your assets. That's how technology evolves over time. So those platforms will eventually become the winners. But ownership, it's a human thing. I want to own things. I want to be in self-custody of things. That makes people to relate to or connect to emotionally with these projects. Nobody cares about blockchain or how that the consensus works.
That's incredible. I think this comes full circle to our first conversation when I was in my driveway. Like, I think the underlying theme of your journey on Hedera has been incredible technology with that human understanding and attention to detail when it comes to human behavior. Like, that's what you're bringing to the table on top of Hedera.
Yeah.
So, incredible. I'm so glad.
Can I say one thing? So your audience can know about this too?
My audience of two?
Yes.
Go for it.
We'll put it on...
My wife and my daughter will appreciate it. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll put it on Twitter and promote it so more people can hear it.
There we go.
But I want to thank you first of all, because you played a big role in me having the confidence to actually start building this wallet. Because until the point where I reached out to you, I was looking for maybe some validation from third party, from somebody that this is a great idea, let's do it. You have a really good idea. This is a great product. And your company was that company. I reached out to you guys. You first of all, you were willing. You don't know me, but first of all, you were willing to at least listen to what I'm trying to build. I had a meeting with Mason. He was like, this is a great idea. Let's do this. Let's build this. And then we had a meeting together. I met you eventually. You brought in your team members. That gave me a lot of confidence to say, this guy's been in... They have a lot of experience building products. They believe in Hedera, and they see something in what I'm building and are actually willing to spend time and effort to help me build the product. And that gave me way more than any funding or anything like that to get the ball rolling. It actually started from that point. So I'm very thankful for you not just ignoring things, but trying to see the value in things. Similar to NFTs, like, you're like, NFTs don't seem that important, but I'm willing to maybe be convinced otherwise. So you're always willing to see the other side of things.
Well, it's been my pleasure. So
thanks to Launchpad. I wish I could work with you guys, because I loved your team and everybody. Just a great group of people and developers. But things had to happen. I had to move forward.
Money and timing. Yes, that's exactly what it comes out to. No, I get it. And I appreciate it. I mean, it's been a pleasure being part of the Citadel progress and part of the development and the family. I mean, I know we helped with the name and the logo. And
you guys actually came up with you had a bunch of tree of names. I have never done anything like that. And we were going through the names trying to figure out which one is the best. Actually, people should know that it came from Launchpad.
Yeah, exactly. It was such a great experience. And it's been a pleasure so far. I'm still so excited for the next phase, because we're just getting started with Citadel, right?
Yep.
We did the token launch, was that in May? April, May?
NFT launch.
The NFT launch.
Pre-orders, yeah. Wallet pre-orders was in May. April, sorry.
Yep.
April. And it's been like 6 months we've been developing after that. You can see the wallet prototypes already. I'm going to send out to some community members to test out too, to play with. But hoping to finish developments by the end of this year. And then
that's incredible.
We're ready to fly from there.
So fast. I don't think people realize how fast that is.
Yeah, yeah. People don't realize it. If this was traditional ways of doing things, it would take years to build something like this. And millions of dollars wasted.
That's incredible. First of all, it's amazing that this community of knuckleheads at Hedera were able to financially support the development of this project through pre-orders.
I'm so thankful. Yeah.
That's such this is such a pivot from traditional development processes. Like, I've been in the venture capital and startup and, incubator, accelerator space. I watched the ICO summer go through. Like, I think the pendulum swung really far for the ICO summer, way too far to where you could raise millions of dollars on a PowerPoint presentation. But your project is kind of a testament to what can be done with ethical founders building projects they believe in and a community that wants to support it. It's almost like a Kickstarter.
But these Web3 Kickstarter, yep.
These are pre-orders where I have a voucher now, this is my NFT, that also acts doubles as my commemorative NFT.
Exactly.
So in the future, when somebody goes, oh, were you involved with Citadel? I'll be like, you should check out my Guardians, right? I got a whole bunch of NFTs.
Yeah. So that brings that extra fun to the project. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think
you can now see the value of the NFTs. And there's more things with the NFTs that we're going to do.
That's incredible. No, you've done an incredible job mobilizing the community, getting them excited. I know your Twitter account is very popular, but you've been involved in building that for a long time.
Yeah.
But I know the community loves everything you have to say, and I'm really excited for what comes up with Citadel. Any last words you want to leave before we close?
Last words, I just want to tell everybody that this is a very special day. Hello Future Live. This just shows how much the community has grown over the years. And now there's a special event dedicated to Hedera community. And there were all kinds of different projects here. Community members, Lehman and Mance came by and talked to everybody. We're hoping to, I'm hoping to have a conversation with them tomorrow too. I didn't get a chance because there's so many people to talk to.
Right.
But this is a very special moment. There could be a lot of really explosive moments in Hedera ecosystem, but this is going to be one of the most special one of them because it's about community. That's achieved by the community, put together by the community, and it's just going to grow from here on.
I think that's an excellent point to close on is, you know, up until now, a lot of, and I've been on the inside of Hedera, right? So I've seen the brute force that goes into organizing events and mobilizing the community. This one was a sucking force. It was like the community came together and said, hey, Hedera, support us.
Yeah.
We're going to do this with or without you. But if you guys can come out and support us, great. So I think that having Christian and Lehman and Mance here representing Swirls Labs, but Hedera proper, and it really being organized and mobilized by the community, to your point, is really that shift.
It's a special moment. Maybe a lot of people don't realize it, but
I didn't realize until you just said it.
This has never happened before. So when something like this happens, you need to really reflect on that and see how far we have come and what's the reason why Hedera is also very interested in putting together events like this, or helping at least, because Elizabeth from Hello Future Buzz has organized most of the thing. And I know a lot of community members have supported her,
right,
with whatever, making posters, whatever they can. So it's just a special thing.
On that note, I think we're going to close this out, but that is an incredible note to close on. This is kind of a pivotal moment in the Hedera community.
Yep.
And I think we should commemorate that with this podcast.
Exactly. And I hope this is annual. It happens every year. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen.
That would be amazing. Well, thank you again for joining me and taking some time out of your busy, busy night partying to talk and share your story, share your progress, and kind of your vision for the future. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Ken. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.